Our second scripture reading for this morning is from Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 6. Toddler care can be dismissed at this time as well. Anyone that's headed back there to help care for them, thank you. Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Let's pause for prayer once more. Lord God, we thank you again that we can be here together, and we pray now that you would be with Keith as he prepares to bring your words to us this morning. We pray that you would give him the words to speak and that we would have the ears to receive what you are sharing through your Spirit, through him this morning. Amen.
Thank you. That's a great little passage. I like it. Not sure if I believe it. And that's my problem. I'm a cynical person, a little bit skeptical, have kind of grown into that as the years go by. I'm told it's a personality type. I was in a sales seminar once, and they did a personality evaluation, and I don't remember what letter I was, but the way the presenter described it is when the boss comes and tells me I'm doing a great job, I'm the one who says, well, yeah, show me the money. Let's see if you really mean it. That's what he said my personality type was. I got to thinking about that. Yeah, that's probably right. By the way, in case you're wondering, I am paid very well here at Lowellville Mennonite, and I'm not being cynical about that. But I have this struggle. When somebody says something's great, show me. Prove it. And it would be easy today to be very cynical about the Christmas season. Nothing's different. I read the news headlines this morning. They're the same now as they were before Christmas. The weather's lousy. It's dark. I'm supposed to be preaching about light this morning. The brightest thing in here is, well, I'll leave that alone. I'm more like verse 2 in this passage. Darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples. Yeah, that I can believe. Jesus came and we celebrated that a couple of weeks ago. Fat lot of good it did us. The bills are now coming due and I ate too much and have to work harder now to lose weight and work harder to pay the bills. And January's just not a very fun month. And I do wonder about the whole thing sometimes. Does this really happen? Three guys, or we don't know how many, several men, if you will, from the far east of all places, they see a star and they figure out, ah, there's something special there. I'm not so sure how to do it that way. Sometimes the behavior of our very own church people, myself included, makes me a little bit skeptical. Connie and I had the opportunity to visit with a woman not too long ago who is in her second marriage. Her first marriage, she was married to a philandering man who would go around on his business trips and have affairs with other women, but he also came from a very religious family. So when he was home, they would attend a holiness church and they'd speak in tongues and have these ecstatic experiences, and then he would go off and do this. And she found out about it. And the mother of the young man who was doing all this said, I'm sorry for this. I will pray for you. That didn't set too well. I don't know if that woman would like to attend church or not. Those are some of the seeds of my cynicism that doesn't necessarily do me well, but I struggle with that. When I was in my very first pastorate, I did something that I'll never do again. The office that was in the church was really tiny, and it was always cluttered because that's how my offices always are. And so I decided I'd work from home, and I forwarded all the phone calls that would come into the office to my house through the call forwarding system. Well, I learned my lesson, but it took a little bit. One night at about midnight, a call came in from a man who was just struggling. He was very depressed, and he said, "Pastor, why can't I find Christ in my life?" And it turned out that his wife had run off with the pastor of the church that he was attending. And that pastor also happened to be one who had consistent requests, "I need to be paid more, I need to be paid more." And so he was wondering, where is Christ? It's not in the church. And he wondered if I could help him any, and I actually went out and met with him late at night. I was a little bit afraid about that. He talked with me for a little bit, but then in the end he said, "I can't talk to you. I can't talk to another pastor. I don't know why I called you in the first place." So I hooked him up with someone else, and I don't know how that turned out, but I'm guessing it didn't turn out all that well. The divorce statistics for the world, for the general population is about 22%. For the church population, it's 24%. That's a statistic I read not too long ago. And sometimes it seems in our decision-making, the most important decision today that we can make is whether we're going to be a Republican or a Democrat, or whether we're going to be liberal or conservative. And everything else falls under that category, which makes it a little difficult for those who claim to be of the Anabaptist faith, because if you are from the Anabaptist tradition or the Mennonite tradition, your beliefs, if you are faithful to that tradition, don't coincide with either party. There are some things that fit, some things that don't. So we're kind of a lost people, so to speak. So today is really no different than any other day. I'm the Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. It's the same thing again and again. Just look around. I actually stopped in at Maple Ridge this morning. I needed to pick something up, and the church people were meeting there, and I said, "Good morning," to someone, and he said, "What's so good about it?" There's my man right there. That's me. However, you were waiting for the however, weren't you? You knew it couldn't end that way. You were just skeptical of what I was saying. The good part about being a cynic, about being skeptical, is I'm also skeptical of bad news. I'm cynical of all of the gloom and doom prophecies that I'm hearing, that the nation's on the wrong track, that the new generation is going downhill. Incidentally, those divorce statistics I mentioned to you, they were a little less than what you've been told, haven't they? We've been told it's 50%. Well, I knew all along that that was hogwash. I know how they arrived at that 50% number, and there's no way it's that high. Just look around you. It's still too high, but it's not that high. Gloom and doom sometimes seems to be a message that we kind of want to give as Christians. The feeling is that if we can convince people how bad the world is, that will bring them to Christ. Our only hope, which is actually true, but that particular technique, I'm skeptical. I don't know that that works. Some of the interpretations in Revelation, I am skeptical. I am not cynical about the book of Revelation. I think it's one of the greatest books in Scripture. It's actually one of my favorites. That and Ecclesiastes. They seem a little bit opposite, but those are the two that I go by. Ecclesiastes is as cynical of a book as you'll ever find. I could have written it. But Revelation, on the other hand, there are four different ways to interpret Revelation, and we don't really have a consensus on what the proper way is. But Bible scholars in general say that this futurist way of gloom and doom has to happen before Christ will return again. That really isn't a solid scriptural way to interpret that. So I'm skeptical when I hear, well, things just have to get worse. It's part of prophecy. The planet is doomed. And so if the planet's going under, that's no big deal. That just means that Christ is going to return again. Well, I'm cynical. Let's look at the stories that have been read this morning. These three kings, we say three again, that we don't know if there was three. We don't even know if they were kings. They are called magi in Scripture. But to sing "we three magi of Orion are," that doesn't work quite right. So we use kings. And isn't it fascinating that they used astrology to find the birth of Christ? Now, when I was growing up, I was told not to pay any attention to that. In fact, I was told that that stuff's of the devil. Don't read your horoscope. Don't pay attention to the stars. That's a different kind of a thing. And yet God chose that way to communicate with these men, I'm assuming they were men, from the Orient, to somehow determine that something special was happening. So I decided to read my horoscope this morning. I hope None of you are too disappointed in that. Just to encourage you, I don't read this. In fact, I didn't even know if it was in the newspaper because I don't read it. So I looked, and lo and behold, I found it. This is my horoscope for today. You may be at the center of a misunderstanding that can only be resolved when you are willing to admit to an error and let others have their say. That sounds good. And you know what? That would have been true yesterday, and it'd be true tomorrow, and it'll be true every day in 2019. Of course, I might be. I have noticed, I read the other horoscopes too. I could read all 12 this morning. They all sound alike. They almost all start that way. You might be, you may be. See, there's always a little safety valve in there. Need I tell you that I am very skeptical of horoscopes and cynical? But yet, on the other hand, these men from the Orient followed that star and got there. So maybe there's more light here than I'm realizing. Today is our epiphany. Today is our chance to look around us and find those points of light wherever we might find them. And we're probably going to find them in places that other people are not aware of. And if we can let those points of light shine to people around us, places that are unexpected, you have a positive attitude about 2019? What's the matter with you? 2018 was a terrible year, and 2019 is going to be even worse. As you read the newspapers, it seems like the most important decisions that we can make as people, citizens of this country, is who our president's going to be and who's going to be on the Supreme Court. That determines the future of the country. Well, it might, but the future of the country has no bearing on the future of God's kingdom. Don't want to break that to you, but they are separate things. For 2,000 years, Christians have been persecuted and people have been trying to quell this story of Christ and play it up to be false and say there's nothing to it. And they have failed every time. And the light keeps getting brighter. Do you know what the largest religion in the world is? Christianity. Do you know what the fastest growing religion in the world is? Christianity. That's not necessarily true in this country. It's not necessarily true in Europe, where our whole Anabaptist roots thing started. But it's true in Latin America. It's true in Africa. And it's even becoming true in nations like Russia and China, who for centuries have tried to quell Christianity, have made it illegal. And yet we continue to read stories of countries that have tried to put the kibosh on this, but people of faith band together and the light just shines brighter and brighter. You know, sometimes a little bit of persecution is good for us. We happen to be able to see the light. And when things are not going well, and when people around us are negative, that is our skeptical opportunity to shine the light bright to everyone that's around us and be something different, be something hopeful. I have a friend of mine who I've been reading his rants on Facebook. He represents a certain perspective politically. I've been reading the responses from one of his Facebook friends about how dumb this guy is for that point of view. And then I read the response that this guy says about how dumb this guy is. And, well, one day in the parking lot of a large mall, he came out of the store and he had a flat tire. This guy. On this side. And try as hard as he could not get the lug nuts loose on that tire. They were just rusted on there solid. So he actually put out a plea on Facebook. I need a little help here. Guess who came to his aid? This guy, who happened to be a mechanic, who happened to have the right equipment that could loosen any lug nut. He came over and got the tire changed for him, and then this guy posted on his Facebook, "Thank you, this guy, for giving me hope in the human condition." You see, when things aren't going well, when we have an opportunity to shine a point of light and we take it, people notice. I think it was Paul Woodrick who shared after the flood in Houston that was so devastating earlier. I think he shared some of the stories that he was seeing about how people were helping each other. And they didn't care what they believed or what church they went to. People were in need. They helped. And that is the opportunity that we have to be a shining light for those around us. So if you believe that 2018 was a terrible year, I happen to think it wasn't. I'm skeptical that it was a terrible year. But maybe you do believe that. Maybe you believe that 2019 is going to be even worse, but I'm skeptical of all that. We have the ability to shine our light brightly to those around us. I've just written down some comments here in closing that I've stolen from another speaker that I happen to forget his name right now. The Holy Spirit's job is to open the eyes of the blind. That's what this light is about that's being written about in Isaiah. One last thought here. Isaiah wrote these, whoever wrote them, we're not sure if it was Isaiah, there's a controversy about that. That's not part of our theme here this morning. Whoever wrote these verses was writing about the first coming of Christ. But sometimes when I hear some of the gloom and doom predictions, I wonder if people believe that Christ ever showed up in the first place at all. He's going to come a second time, and this time he's going to get it right. Well, I happen to believe that when he came the first time, he got it right. And now it is up to us to spread that light. That's what Epiphany is about. So the Spirit's job is to open the eyes of the blind. Lord, may my eyes be opened. May my cynicism be addressed by your light. We radiate the majesty of this King that is talked about here, this Christ that was born in Bethlehem. We have been made into showpieces of Christ's mercy. I just thought of that now. Showpieces. What other explanation could there be to dress like this? She will tell you it's even worse what's in the closet at home. We are the example to the world that God is in the business of saving sinners. Can we be that example? God is in the business of saving sinners. I like that. Grace does not merely reflect, it attracts. Can we attract people with our light? Let us orient ourselves now that grace does shine forth into the world. We are the epiphany to the world. Part of my privilege as a pastor is to play another song that I think speaks very well to this epiphany. It's called Follow the Light, and the chorus to the song, I think, explains very well what we can count on. And then we'll have the benediction after this. This also gives me a chance to gather up all my junk here from the front row.
Have you heard the news? You better put on your walking shoes. They say the baby Jesus is born tonight. Come go along with me. We'll see what we can see. They say the child's a lovely sight. Come on and follow, follow, follow the light that shines from the brightest star above. Every step is lighter as the star shines brighter to guide our way to perfect love.
Skeptical that not all of you like banjo music. To guide our way to perfect love, may that be our call. You're invited to stay for dinner. We're really going to celebrate Epiphany with a whole meal today. Next Sunday, we have a special guest that's going to share for just a few minutes about the Sunlight Mission Program. That's Jared Zare. And it'll be great to have him back in the congregation to share with us. He was a part of our congregation with his beautiful family for a long time. Chose to go elsewhere, not out of acrimony, but just out of a little different feeling. And his daughter's getting married here in this church, January 26th. I don't know how many of you knew that, but we got our invitation, so I'm assuming it's official now. That'll be next Sunday. Please stand for the benediction. What better epiphany benediction than this? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in peace.